This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
We will call the PUC meeting to order. It's February 26th, 9:30 in the morning. I am Chairman Nelson. I have with me in the meeting room Commissioner Hansen, and we have Commissioner Feagin on the telephone with us today. Is there a motion regarding the minutes from February 12th? Commissioner Hansen.
I move for approval of the South Dakota PUC minutes of February 12th.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin both aye.
Nelson both aye. Motion carries. Consumer reports, Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The Commission received a total of 64 contacts since the last report was prepared for the February 12, 2016 Commission meeting. 8 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 11 of the contacts involved electric service, 7 contacts related to natural gas service, 1 contact was related to gas and electric service, 7 contacts related to wireless service, 10 contacts related to the Do Not Call Registry, 1 contact was related to Dakota Access Pipeline, and 4 contacts were related to wind energy, and 15 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 1,914 of the 1,916 complaints in 2014 have been resolved, and 206 of the 224 complaints received in 2016 have been resolved.
Questions?
Chairman Nelson, I do have some questions about the Humboldt gas issue. Do you want me to do that at the end of the meeting where there is an agenda item that says issues for commission discussion?
Well, are they for Ms. Gregg or somebody else?
Well, Ms. Gregg is aware that I'm asking questions today, so I don't know if she has Christine Edwards to help her or...
She does.
I can't go staff people.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. A couple questions. Do you know if Mary Zenter was able to meet with the gas and the gas committee or the board and the city council? Because there was an email, and then we also got some respondents from Humboldt on some questions.
Thank you, Commissioner Feagin. This is Kristen Edwards for staff. Mary did go to Humboldt, I believe, early this week, and she did have a chance to meet with them and go over the issue.
Great. Also, there is something on the mutual aid with Crooks. Is that a signed agreement?
I don't believe it is signed. I think there was some concern about liability that they would be taking on by signing that.
So does that provide enough protection for the Humboldt residents on Pipeline 50?
I had discussed that with Mary, and she's been in close contact with the city, and she has been helping them through this process, and she does not feel that there is an imminent safety threat at this time or that they are in any violation of PHMSA rules at this time. I think they're hoping to have the position filled in early March.
Okay. And then is the part-time person that works, I think, 20 hours a week, are they working more hours, and are they trained for all the areas that are extremely important for the safety? Because we have now a training list that was put up on our website, I think, yesterday or the day before.
Mr. Bull is not OQ'd for all of the necessary things that Daryl Sieverding was, which has been an issue that Mary's been working through with them. And so Ginny Beck from Crooks is OQ'd for all that and is their backup then at this time. And he's not, I don't believe Mr. Bull is putting in extra hours right now.
But if they don't have a signed agreement, that sounds interesting. Okay. I just want to make sure that our Humboldt residents are protected with pipeline safety when we lose a staff person and that everything is being done properly. And
This is Kristen again. I did receive within the last 30 seconds or so another letter from Humboldt. I have not had a chance to look at it yet, so I don't know what it's regarding, but I will file it in the docket yet this morning.
Great. Thank you. And then I'll probably be asking more questions at the next commission meeting so we can just keep up to speed and make sure our residents are safe.
Thank you. Any additional questions for Deb? Seeing none, Deb, thank you. Kristen, thank you. We're going to take the agenda top to bottom today and start with electric EL 10-016 in the matter of the application of Great River Energy and Northern States Power Company doing business as XL Energy for a permit to construct a 10.6-mile, 345-kV transmission line, which is CapEx 2020 in Brookings County near White, South Dakota. We've had an earlier hearing on this, and I'm going to turn it over to Great River.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Tasha Bartle at Great River Energy. There was some concern at the last meeting that we didn't have a signed letter from the South Dakota DOT agreeing to release the bond specifically. Now we've received letters from all the involved agencies, and I filed them. So they've all accepted the restoration, the work is done, and they all agree to release our bond.
Thank you. XL, anything to add, Mr. Kaneke? Nothing. Staff.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff, and staff would recommend granting the request for the release of the construction bond. Thank you.
Questions from the commission? Motions? I will move in EL 10-016 that the commission grant the request for release of construction bond and authorize the executive director or commission counsel to execute any necessary release. Any release documents to release Travelers Casualty Insurance Company of America, bond number 10581645. Discussion on the motion. It appears that all of the parties that would have been beneficiaries of the bond have signed off and said things are up to snuff, and so certainly appropriate to release the bond. Additional discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Keegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to EL 15-040 in the matter of the request of Aberdeen Housing Authority for a variance in the separate metering requirement of ARSD 20:10:26:03 sub 4 for a 40-unit multifamily housing structure in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And I will go to Mr. Kwasny.
Thank you, Commissioner. We've, as we discussed previously, this is a tax credit project that we're trying to build up in Aberdeen for senior housing. As part of that process, the design called for a universal or a central hot water heating system. The building is all electric, so we had initially, in the design phase, had gas. We designed that out, so the gas request, we're dismissing that at this time. We've talked with Mr. Carney about that, and I guess we'll answer any questions you have about our submissions to this point. But
thank you, Mr. Carney.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Darren Carney for staff. Staff filed our memo on February 24th. Purpose of the memo was kind of selfish. It was more for me to track the history of the master metering rules and my interpretation of the rules at this point. And so it relied more on how the rules were formed and the purpose behind the rules. And I felt it would be a good reference in the future if staff or myself were also reviewing these master metering variance requests in the future. As noted in the memo, staff doesn't take any position on this docket. It's my interpretation that the commission intended for any multi-unit or multi-occupancy residences that are funded by a federal or state program to have individual metering, but the commission at the time of making that decision did not want to bind itself to that or the purpose standards, and they wanted the commission to have the flexibility to consider the long-run benefits to the consumer versus the cost of individually metering each unit in the future, so they didn't bind themselves to the PURPA requirements or to individually metering at these facilities. Costs are pretty easy to estimate in this case because you can get a good idea of the cost to install meters and what it will cost to do so for putting in individual water heaters or putting in individual meters. Benefits are a lot more difficult to quantify because there's so many factors that go into it. You know, will a resident actually reduce their thermostat to temperatures and so forth like that? Will they take advantage of energy conservation measures if they have the ability to do so? And so I didn't attempt to quantify the benefits in the memo. However, staff's belief that in the intent of purpose to individually meter facilities for multi-occupancy residences in order to conserve energy and create equitable rates to consumers. And we'll leave it at the commission's discretion to determine if the benefits or the costs outweigh the benefits in the instant case. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? And I'm going to begin for Mr. Carney and Mr. DeHewick. First of all, as always, an excellent memo. Very, very helpful. I will admit that when I got to the last phrase of the last sentence, I chuckled, and that proves how smart you guys are in choosing not to make a final determination, but give us all the information that we need. The question that I've got for you comes on the second page, second paragraph, where you've relied heavily on ARSD 20:10:26:03 sub 4 and made a determination as to the applicability of that rule. And so my question is, it appears to me that 20:10:26:04 sub 6 is equally applicable, and why did you give weight to one and not the other?
I gave weight to, and if my interpretation is wrong and Adam disagrees, but I gave weight to 20:10:26:03:04 because the commission explicitly called out the fact that individual metering is required at these facilities that are funded by government or state or federal programs unless those programs require master metering, right? And then if you look at the variance option below it, below 20:10:26:04, the last sentence there, it says, you know, if a facility doesn't meet one of the exceptions above or is called out specifically in 20:10:26:03, then a variance can be filed. So I read that as, you know, if it, you know, the exception doesn't apply because they're specifically calling out the rule before.
So if I could just make maybe a counter-argument, because I'm trying to resolve this in my mind, and it almost appears to me that we've got conflicting rules. In the first rule, 03, it says, here's when it is required. And then we've got 04, sub 6, which says it is not required. And then you get into the whole variance thing. And I'm, at this point, I'm not dealing with the variance question. I'm dealing with 03 that says yes, 03 that says no, or 04 that says no, and so I'm wondering, again, why you give deference to 03 instead of 04?
After reviewing the initial order in docket F3237, I felt that the commission explicitly wanted these facilities to be master or individually metered. And I don't think the commission contemplated that an out for gas service or for a central water heating system or central cooling system for these buildings would be there. I guess, you know, it's conflicting rules, and I just relied on the variance that they were asking and reviewed that, I guess, but nowhere in the original order did I read that exceptions for these multi-unit occupancy buildings would be applicable to units that are applied or units that are being built off of state or federal funding.
The Commissioner, I can provide a little bit of clarity on that. This is Jake Kwasny.
Go ahead.
So in the past, I'm new here. In the past, they have, on these tax credit projects and South Dakota Housing, didn't require us to ask for this up front in the process, which is why it's taken a little while to get where we are. So they've changed that requirement. But in the past, they were doing it under 04 sub 6. But if you read the last paragraph in 04 sub 6, it says if a building does not fall within one of the exceptions listed in this section or does fall within one of the subdivisions of 03, then you have to file a variance with the commission consistent with this chapter. So if you, the way that last paragraph reads, I think the rules would require us to go through this process of getting a variance in order to master meter these projects.
Thank you.
Because it does fall within 03.
And I appreciate that clarification. I think the last question for Darren, the order F-3237, what year was that?
Excuse me. I believe it was 1980.
Thank you. Other questions from the commission?
I have some when you're ready, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Commissioner Nelson has hit the nail on the head. This is very conflicting, very confusing. And one time Commissioner Nelson wanted to open up this, and we might just have to do that to make it more understanding and not conflicting rules. Two questions for Jake. The first one is the tax credit application. Can you help me understand, number one, if it's a requirement that you pay the utilities, so you are paying all the utilities, and number two, how long have you agreed to pay all the utilities? How many years have you agreed to pay all the utilities of the consumers that lease from you?
It is not a requirement. There's a number of factors that go into when we prepare the tax credit pro forma, being able to deliver the product to the end user and serve the need that we're trying to serve, but it all has to fit within the numbers and the calculations that the federal government provides to us. I could provide one of those pro formas, but to walk through it without having that in front of you guys would, it wouldn't be a productive way to the calculation. But one of the ways that we are able to show that we're meeting that need is by providing the utilities within the rent allowance. And we put in, thermostats that regulate the amount of the, where they can set them and all of those sort of things. But we're not required to do it on these projects because we have applied for it with it. It would be pretty hard to go back and undo and keep our credits. And then on both of the projects, this one and the 15041, we agreed to the extended period. So they're in the program for a period of 30 years.
Thank you.
Additional commissioner questions? Seeing none, is there a motion? I will move an EL 15-040 that the commission grant the master metering variance requested by Aberdeen Housing Authority. Discussion on the motion. I guess I'd say, first of all, I greatly appreciate Darren and Mr. Kwasny stepping through with me the understanding of those two rules that appear to be somewhat in conflict. But after that discussion, I think I would agree that this certainly qualifies for a variance. I think the company has demonstrated that it will certainly be cheaper for them to do their project, and in fact, it may be a deal breaker if they can't do their project in this particular fashion because this is how they put their application in. But from maybe a more practical standpoint, this is senior living. My mother is in a senior living independent situation in Sioux Falls, so I'm familiar with that. And the place where she lives, it's master metered. She knows every month exactly what she is going to be paying to live there and doesn't have to worry about the variances of the utility bill going up and down because it's all included. And for a senior person, that works really well. And so I see this as being in the same vein. Additional discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your comments. I do like conservation, and I do think individual metering supports conservation in a whole new way and a whole new level. But I have spent many hours on these two dockets, and I appreciate the savings. If they're going to pay the utilities, it doesn't matter if they're individually metered or master metered, if they're going to pay the utilities for 30 years. And I was very welcome to hear from Jake that the thermostat will be set at a certain level, so that will help with conservation, which I didn't see that in the docket. So I appreciate that. I will be voting for the variance today, but this is extremely confusing and conflicting on most dockets that we see. So thank you.
This is Chairman Nelson again. Let me just reiterate the last point that Commissioner Feagin made. The fact that these thermostats are going to have limits up and down, I think that's a really, frankly, a new concept that I don't know we've seen in any of these other applications prior, and certainly something that I also appreciate. Additional discussion. Commissioner Hansen.
I just wanted to say that I sincerely appreciate the length and breadth of Darren's explanation and all of the information that he went into and the historical perspective that he provided for us for this. I'd just reiterate the comments that were made previously by the chair and the vice chair that you really did a great job on this. Thank you very much.
Additional discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to EL 15-041 in the matter of the request by Sioux Falls Housing Ministry, LLC, for a variance to the separate metering requirement in ARSD 20:10:26:04 sub 3 sub 4 for a 39-unit multifamily housing structure in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Mr. Kwasny, anything to add?
I think the only thing I would add on this one that wasn't discussed on the Aberdeen Housing Authority is, you know, on a project like this, we target, you know, whereas senior housing targets, you know, more of the people on a fixed income, Social Security, and those sort of things, where the real benefit comes from knowing what your payment's going to be every month, like you said, Commissioner. This one, when we're dealing with these, how we work through our pro formas involves incorporating a certain number of units where we're at 60% of average median income, 50 and 30. And really, when we come into these projects, our goal is to serve a need of those people who really need housing. Otherwise, they're going to be in substandard housing. So when we can, the more we can drive down our costs on these, the more we can incorporate those 30 and 50% units and really serve the need of the community, where we can provide quality housing to people who otherwise would not be able to afford it, which is really the intent of these programs. And as we keep trying to make them more energy efficient, we've got to, you know, we're trying to balance that. Where do we find the cost savings to be able to make the numbers work and provide the best product to our end user?
Thank you. Staff.
This is Darren Carney for staff. Filed the same memo in this docket. I have nothing further to add, and staff takes no position on this. Thank you.
Questions from the commission?
One quick question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I assume that this agreement is also 30 years that you'll pay the utilities?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. And I certainly appreciate you guys investing your time and energy and investment into affordable housing and senior living. Thank you.
Additional questions? Is there a motion? Commissioner Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move in EL 15-041 that the commission grant the master metering variance request to Sioux Falls Housing Ministry, LLC.
Discussion on the motion. Let me just say I appreciate Mr. Kwasny's additional comment on this. I think it brings to us a reality of what they are trying to accomplish. They've got the word ministry in their name, and that's what they're trying to do is give quality housing to folks that are probably going to struggle to afford it otherwise. And I think the little bit we can do here today to support that's a good thing. Additional discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. And Mr. Kwasny, thank you for bearing with us through the discussion over several meetings and several months. And again, Darren and Adam, awesome job on the memo. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioners, and also thank you to Darren and Adam. It was great to work through it with them. So,
Thank you. That brings us to EL 15-049 in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power, Inc. for approval of tariff revisions to its line extension policy and secondary service voltage options. And we have with us a representative from Black Hills Power. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is John Thurber on behalf of Black Hills Power. In this docket, the company proposed to revise its tariff for the line extension policy and the secondary service voltage options. There were two material changes in this filing, along with a couple of small cleanup changes. The material change, the line extension policy, was in the existing tariff, there was a static line extension amount and construction cost that helped determine the line extension allowance. What we're proposing to do is change that static amount in there to a formula rate that helped keep the tariff in place and takes changes into construction costs and any rate changes and usage changes and update that on an annual basis rather than having to go in and change the tariff. The second change is a new supplemental design fee charge. The company is proposing to give each customer, each location, two free estimates at no charge. Any additional estimates would receive a $100 charge. The charge is not designed to create additional revenue. The charge is merely designed to make the utility more efficient and have cost causers pay for specific line extension estimates that exceed the number of two. If the customer ultimately decides to construct the proposed extension and they have requested more than two, then that contribution associated with that fee would be applied to the construction amount. Glenda Ron, manager of electric operations, is available on the telephone, but Black Hills Power would just respectfully request that these tariff revisions be approved effective March 1st. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Staff.
Thank you. This is Brittany Melhoff for staff, and the company answered all of our data requests, and we recommend approval. Thank you.
Thanks. Questions from the commission? Commissioner Hanson.
Good morning, Mr. Thurber. Nothing terribly difficult. I agree with your premises that the cost causer should pay for the cost rather than distributing it amongst all of the other consumers. Knowing that there are challenges in the Black Hills in construction, do other utilities charge based on the actual cost? Why not Black Hills Power?
In terms of the actual construction allowance or the design?
Instead of coming up with just a certain amount for each customer, and I see by the notes that I have that I don't have them in front of me now, but I think it was between $140 and $450 estimate per location. Why not charge the actual cost to the cost causer?
So that will remain to be free of charge, those construction estimates. Those are not included in the cost of construction. That's just employees' time to actually develop the estimate. The purpose of providing that information is to kind of show that even at a $100 supplemental design fee, that fee is not covering the full cost of the construction estimate. It's just a slight deterrent to request more than two if they're not sincere about constructing the line extension.
I understand that. I was just curious why, if it costs $350 to do one, why not bill your time?
That's an option. It certainly is. In terms of incorporating that into the tariff, you would have to keep track of time on each construction estimate that you're working on and have that fee be based on kind of a time and loaded labor. Loaded labor inflates annually, so I think we may run into a similar situation that we did with the line extension allowance, that unless you made it formulaic, it'd be hard to charge a fixed fee. And generally, for ease of administration, a fixed fee works better.
Thank you.
Additional questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
For John or Brenda, it seems like this docket has came to us much later than the other utilities that we regulate. And so I assumed the cost causers have shifted cost over to other ratepayers with that static number. So do you guys have any idea how much money or how much cost has been transferred to ratepayers with your old or your current formula?
Commissioner, this is John Thurber. It's hard to tell based on when those allowances and construction costs were set in 2006. It's hard to tell how fast construction costs outpaced the cost of inflation and rates. So there's been no analysis done that would show how much out of whack construction costs were with allowances. Those static amounts have been in place for a while. I think they're pretty similar to what other utilities have been provided for in construction allowances.
Thank you.
Mr. Rizlov.
Yes, if I could. How often do you does the company have to use dynamite to actually extend service? Does it happen very often?
I'm going to ask Mr. Ron to address that question, please.
Hi, John. I have Ken Myros in the room with me as well, and I'm going to pass that on to him.
Yeah, this is Ken Myros, operations manager for Black Hills Energy. For the most part, it's very seldom. I think it's safe to say that we actually use dynamite maybe 3 to 4 times a year on average for pole holes and so on.
I was just curious. I would expect you're the only utility in South Dakota that probably gets into that. And I was going to make a suggestion, too. If the company was going to charge for that labor cost, we'd probably have to call them in to reduce their rates otherwise. So it's probably just as well they didn't.
Any additional questions? Motions.
Mr. Chairman, in EL-15-049, move that the Commission approve Black Hills Power Incorporated tariff revisions with an effective date of March 1st, 2016.
Discussion on the motion.
First of all, I want to thank Black Hills for bringing this to us so the cost causers can pay for their line extension, and also that actually people that continue to ask for plans to be drawn up, that after two, that they're paying for a large portion of that cost. So I appreciate both of those, and that the person that's causing the cost and not being shifted to the other ratepayers. Thank you.
Additional comments? I would certainly concur with that. Thank you, Black Hills Power, for bringing this particular request. Very common sense adjustment in what you're doing. Additional comments? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you. EL 16-004, in the matter of the filing by Mid-America Energy Company for approval of tariff revisions to its transmission cost recovery 2015 reconciliation and new factor calculation. Mid-American. Well, this is a filing fee request, and so staff.
Thank you. This is Kristen Edwards for staff. Staff just recommends or requests the filing fee amount of up to $50,000 to account for actual expenses incurred in review of this docket.
Questions from the commission? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Go ahead. In
EL 16-004, I move that the commission assess a filing fee in the amount of up to $50,000 to account for actual expenses incurred in reviewing this filing commencing from the filing date. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. EL 16-005, in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power, Inc., doing business as Black Hills Energy, for approval of a 2016 transmission facility adjustment. And the same question here: shall we assess a filing fee in the amount of up to $50,000 to account for actual expenditures? Black Hills.
This is John Thurber on behalf of Black Hills. The company is supportive of staff's request.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you. Staff is just requesting the statutory amount in this docket as well.
Motion. Commissioner Hanson.
I'm just curious if we can raise this. Is this the maximum amount that we can charge, or is according to South Dakota statute?
Ms. Edwards, do you care to answer the question?
Forgive me, Commissioner Hanson, but that would require legislation.
All right.
I think it's past that time.
I'm just curious according to statute.
There's still time. The legislature has not gone home.
Mr. Chairman, in EL 16-005, I move that the commission assess a filing fee in the amount of up to $50,000 to account for actual expenses incurred in the review of this filing commencing from the filing date.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. EL 16-006, in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power, Inc., doing business as Black Hills Energy, for approval of its 2016 environmental improvement adjustment. And again, the same question here, looking for $50,000 to account for actual expenditures. Black Hills.
Thank you. The company is supportive of staff's request.
And staff.
Thank you. Same request, up to the maximum allowed by statute, $50,000.
Questions? Motions?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 16-006, move that the commission assess a filing fee up to the amount of $50,000 to account for actual expenses incurred in the review of this filing commencing from the filing date.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hanson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, John. Brings us to natural gas, NG 16-001, in the matter of the filing by Montana Dakota Utilities for approval of its revised conservation tracking adjustment. And the question, shall the commission grant MDU's request for approval of the revised conservation tracking mechanism rate 90 tariff effective March 1st, 2016? Ms. Aberle.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. This is Tammy Eberle, and I also have Larry Oswald, our Energy Program Manager, with me today. The filing before you is a request to adjust the conservation tracking adjustment to reflect a true-up of actual expenditures through December 2015 and projected 2016 expenditures as approved by the Commission for the portfolio approved in docket number NG 14-007. The CTA proposed in the January 28 filing reflects a very slight decrease from the currently effective CTA rate. Montana Dakota requests to implement a CTA rate for the period March 1, 2016 through February 28 of 2017 of 2.4 cents per DK, representing a 0.4 cent decrease from the current rate. Participation in the gas conservation portfolio in this past year continues to be good, with 500 customers participating. The portfolio provided DK savings of approximately $80,500 over the project life of the installed equipment at a total cost of $114,563. This equates to 94% of the budgeted DK savings obtained at 83% of the authorized budget. Montana Dakota analyzed the cost effectiveness of its 2015 program results using projected 2016 gas costs, and the total portfolio is cost effective along with each individual program. The rebates provided were cost effective and provided benefits to all customers. Montana Dakota requests approval of the CTA effective March 1, 2016. Thank you.
Thank you, staff.
Thank you, Chairman Allison. This is Joe Rizak with staff. Staff's review of the initial filing and responses to data requests concludes that MDU properly completed all calculations for the new CTA rate. With that, staff recommends the Commission approve MDU's proposed CTA rate of 2.4 cents per decatherm with an effective date of March 1, 2016.
Questions? Motions? Commissioner Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, in Natural Gas 16-001, I move that the Commission grant MDU's request for approval of the revised conservation program tracking mechanism rate 90 tariff effective March 1st of 2016.
Discussion on the motion.
Oh, I would just wonder that there will be great big headlines saying that we reduced rates for the consumers.
I'm certain of it. Additional discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I am always thankful for Montana Dakota Utilities rate programs or rebate programs. They're conservative. We've used that sometimes as a model with other investor-owned utilities. And I certainly appreciate the benefit-cost ratios that you have shown. So, and it'll be interesting to see how the energy audit goes when you start that. It looks like in May or June. So thank you.
I would just add to that a couple of things. First, the program was within budget this last year, actually maybe a little below, and so we certainly appreciate that. The other point that I would make, and I intend to support this particular docket, but the other thing that I'd just like to point out, included with some of the responses was a survey of the participants of the program. And I'd just like for all to note the response to survey question number 3. And this was the question that asked participants, to what effect did the rebate have on your influence to actually purchase the energy efficiency measure? And fully two-thirds of the respondents said it had either no influence or neutral influence. Two-thirds. And so I think that, again, begs the question of what are we getting for the consumer dollars that we're putting into this program? Irrelevant to what we're dealing with today, but in the long term may have an effect. Commissioner Hansen, do you have a response? You looked at you.
You make me. I try not to talk very much, but you and I seem to differ on this issue whenever we possibly can. I would just say that apparently a third of the folks are in a financial position where this makes a very big difference for them.
Well put. Thank you. Additional pertinent discussion.
And I certainly appreciate those comments, Commissioner Nelson, because I looked at that too. And I know with my three advisors, I talk about that a lot during an advisors meeting, is if it really makes a difference in people buying energy efficiency or if they do that anyway. So thank you for those comments.
Additional discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Tammy, thank you.
Thank you.
That brings us to our last docket, TC 16-001, in the matter of the petition of IM Telecom LLC, doing business as Infinity Mobile, for designation as an eligible telecommunication carrier and waiver. And we've got a request from SDTA to withdraw its petition to intervene. Mr. Coit.
Mr. Chairman, commissioners, and staff, thank you. Richard Coit with the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. We filed a letter on February 16th just indicating why we are asking for the withdrawal. After the filing of our petition to intervene, IM Telecom amended their petition to just include the CenturyLink areas. So obviously that kind of takes care of our concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Peebles, anything to add?
Thank you, Chairman. Nothing to add.
Staff.
Thank you, Chairman. We have nothing to add.
Questions from the commission? Motions? I'll move in. Go ahead.
In TC 16-001, move that the commission grant SDTA's request to withdraw its petition to intervene.
Discussion on the motion. I will simply say, as always, appreciate the two parties working together to work out at least that much of the docket. Additional discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. A couple of announcements. Commissioners and staff will be at the Sioux Empire Home Show March 4th through 6th. We'll also be at the Black Hills Home Builders Show March 11th through the 13th. And the next regular commission meeting is going to be on a Tuesday, March 15th, but at an unusual time of 1 p.m. Again on March 15th. Anything else for the good of the order? Is there a motion? Commissioner Hansen.
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.